Welcome to the Emmaus Bible Hour. This is a program for the whole family, with an emphasis on finding out what God has to say to us through His Word, the Bible. The New Hebrides, in the South Pacific, is the lonely grave of a missionary, John Getty. A marble slab bears the following inscription: "When he came here, there were no Christians. When he went away, there were no heathen." As I read that inscription, I was reminded that our study in the book of Acts at this time is on the Apostle Paul's first missionary journey. We're going to be looking at Lesson 7 and page 1 of that lesson. If you would like more information on our study notes, please write to us. Our address will be given at the end of this 15-minute program. First, let's open our Bibles and read Acts chapter 13, verses 1, 2, and 3. That's Acts 13, verses 1, 2, and 3. "Now there were at Antioch in the church, that was there, prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Menan, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' Then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them forth." That was Acts 13, verses 1, 2, and 3. We note that in the church at Antioch, besides Saul and Barnabas, there were three other Bible teachers. As they waited on the Lord in prayer, the Holy Spirit told them to send forth these two for a special work which He had for them. Both the missionaries and the church were obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit. There are important guidelines in the book of Acts that would help us in missionary work today if we would observe them. Barnabas and Saul first visited the island of Cyprus. John Mark went with them to help in the work. The Greek word here has the idea of his being an under-rower. When they had gone through the whole island preaching the gospel, they came to a man in charge of the country named Sergius Paulus. This man was interested in the message, but Elymas the sorcerer tried to keep him from the truth. Paul punished him with blindness for a while, so that he would stop opposing the spread of the gospel light. Then Sergius Paulus believed in the Lord. It's a terrible thing to resist the light of the truth. After a while, a person loses his ability to know what truth is. He becomes blind and will more easily believe a lie from Satan. One other item of interest regarding Cyprus: in the Bible account, Saul is called Paul for the first time here. And you'll note that from here on, he's called Paul. From Cyprus, they return to the mainland, into a rather dangerous district. At this point, the young man John Mark returned to Jerusalem. We don't know just why Mark turned back. Then the other two arrive at another city called Antioch, in the land of Pisidia. So there are two Antiochs. You'll find it helpful to look them up on the maps in the back of your Bible. In Antioch, Paul, as he always did, went first to the synagogue and there found an opportunity to preach the gospel of Christ to the Jews. In his message, Paul first refers them to the Old Testament. Then, as soon as possible, he starts speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, it didn't make them happy to be told that Christ had died on the cross. Paul goes on at once, though, to tell of his glorious resurrection from the dead. Then through this man, Jesus Christ, Paul tells them that they may have forgiveness of sins. Jews and Gentiles who believed in God all wanted to hear Paul preach again the next Sabbath, so much so that almost the whole city came out to hear him. This was too much for the unbelieving Jews. They began to argue with Paul and contradict him. So Paul and Barnabas said that they would be forced to turn to the Gentiles. This, of course, made the Gentiles glad. But the Jews got more and more angry. They finally stirred up so much trouble that the apostles had to leave the city. But they left behind them a company of happy disciples who were glad that they were saved. As we pause for some music, think about this for a few moments. Why should we care about a few insults from some who do not believe, if only some come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior through our witnessing? Listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour, and we're glad you're listening. We hope you'll become a regular listener. We encourage you to write to us so that we can learn to know you better. Send us your questions and suggestions. We're ready now to look at Acts chapter 14. We would encourage you to follow along in your Bible, and if you have our Bible study notes, make use of them. By the way, our address will be given at the close of this program. From Antioch in Pisidia, the apostles go on to Iconium, where they stay for a long time. There they preach the gospel and heal the sick. The results were much the same. Many believed, but the Jews turned on them and stirred up the people to try and stone Paul and Barnabas to death. However, they found out in time and escaped to Lystra. At Lystra, Paul healed a lifelong cripple. This made such an impression on the people that they thought that Paul and Barnabas must be two of the heathen gods. They were so sure that they brought animals to offer as a sacrifice to them. This, of course, Paul and Barnabas refused to accept. Then the mob changed its mind when the Jews stirred them up against Paul. They became so angry, they tried to kill Paul with stones. When they thought he was dead, they left him. God raised him up because he had a great work for Paul to do. They went on to Derbe and then traveled back through the cities where they had been treated so badly. Finally, they returned to their home church and reported on the wonderful things that God had done in saving so many souls. Now we're ready to look at the Jerusalem Council, and this is Acts chapter 15. In chapter 11, some of the Jewish leaders had believed, or at least they said they had. At that time, they disputed with Peter because he associated with Gentiles. Here we find them stirring up trouble again. They actually traveled to Antioch to tell the Gentile Christians that they had to be circumcised. But all of the Old Testament ceremonies have been fulfilled and done away in Christ. Moreover, anything added to the work of Christ as being necessary for salvation is altogether wrong. faith in the Lord Jesus and His finished work is the only thing necessary for you or for me to be saved. The Christians at Antioch were perplexed at this wrong teaching. Paul and Barnabas assured them that it was not true teaching. They did decide to go to Jerusalem and talk to the other church leaders. In Jerusalem at first, they had a great deal of argument. Some Pharisees there, who believed, were insisting that all must be circumcised. Finally, Peter simply reminded them of how God had in fact received Gentiles on the basis of their faith. This could be proved because he had given the Holy Spirit to Cornelius and many others. The Jews themselves could not be saved by keeping the law. They were saved by faith, plus nothing. Why then should the Gentiles be forced to do what the Jews had failed to do? Paul and Barnabas told how God had saved many Gentiles on their recent trip. All of them were saved by faith, plus nothing. Finally, James speaks of a prophecy from the Old Testament book of Amos to support Peter's statement that God accepted Gentiles who called upon his name. James's conclusion is that the Gentiles should not be asked to accept circumcision or keep the law of Moses. They were to avoid the sins of fornication, idolatry, and certain foods. James's proposal was well received by all the church. They chose two men, Judas and Silas, to go back to Antioch with a letter explaining the matter. When they reached Antioch, they gathered the church together and read the letter to them. Many had really been worried about this false doctrine. Now they were greatly relieved that one must be saved by faith alone. Now you might think that this question of keeping the law for salvation had been settled once and for all. But we know from Paul's letters that the Jews continued to be very active and went to great lengths to impose this doctrine on the people. Paul answers this wrong doctrine in Galatians, 1 Corinthians, Philippians, and Colossians. This false doctrine is not dead today. If you have any questions about it, we would urge you to study these books, beginning with Galatians and then going on to 1 Corinthians, Philippians, and Colossians. Also, feel free to send us your questions. The clock on the wall reminds us that our time is just about gone. Again, thanks for being with us. And write to us this week. Remember, we are saved by faith in Christ, plus nothing. You have been listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour.